Sports Pod. Sports Pod. Sports Pod. Sports Pod. Sports Pod.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
Sports Pod.
I don't believe what I just saw.
Sports Pod.
Applejack stole the ball. Applejack stole the
ball. Sports Pod.
Do you believe in miracles?
Yes!
Play ball. How's everyone doing out there? This is Curtis from the Sports Pod for Wednesday, November 11th. Sports Talk on demand through podcast technology. I'm Curtis talking to you at 5 p.m. San Francisco time, and I want to hear from you. Text and voice emails go to curtis@thesportspod.com. You can also call in voice emails at 603-649-7771. 603-649-7771. Contribute to the show. I want to hear from you. All right, we got a great show planned today, and we've had enough time to build up to this one. I got to apologize. I've been out of it. I've been off the line for about a week now. I'm back now, and I'm going to have to figure out a rhythm for this. I had a good run to start out with, and I fell off a bit, and I think I'm going to have to find a happy medium to do the show on a consistent basis. But I'll tell you, there's something that really got me fired up. We got an East Coast correspondent now, Bill. Bill called in with some killer sports takes, so you're going to hear some of that. We have comments from Scott on the comment section at thesportspod.com, and there was some material I actually recorded last week that is still relevant. It's D-Fish talking to Jim Rome about the Lakers situation. So without further ado, let's get rolling. All right, so Bill's going to pretty much carry the show. Bill had some great takes all across the board. Let's see. Let me just go ahead and play some of these for you.
Curtis, how you doing? It's your East Coast correspondent. I just wanted to touch on a few things. Number one, Dave Wannstedt, coach of the Miami Dolphins, is resigning. The guy sucked.
Okay, here goes Bill. Bill's been listening to the show on his Trio. Somewhere on the East Coast. I'm thinking New York.
He didn't do anything with the Chicago Bears. He totally ruined the Miami Dolphins organization for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years.
The guy hasn't done squat in his whole career. I don't know. I think his players tend to like him, and I think people in the league tend to like the guy, but he hasn't done squat.
And finally, he's stepping down. So Miami fans can rejoice. It's about time, and hopefully better things are on the horizon for those
privilege
guys.
To boot Dan Marino as his first line of business, first item of business when he got to Miami. And I think he was not supplying enough of the chronic to Ricky. Ricky Williams, man. What a fucking... Dude, what are you doing? What are you doing, man? Rastaman vibration, yeah. Positive. Man, this is not a case of a Barry Sanders type situation. Barry Sanders walking away was pretty weak. He sort of left his teammates out to dry in the same way that Ricky Williams did, just kind of, you know, training camp's about to start, and, you know, poof, they're gone. So, and then you look at Emmitt Smith, man. Emmitt Smith's just fucking hanging on. What are you doing, Emmitt? What are you doing? So, you know, what's up with these running backs, man? No one can go out gracefully. Who's gone out gracefully? OJ? OJ's taking him out pretty ungracefully. Eric Dickerson? Eric Dickerson I followed growing up. The guy, he was a head job. He was great with the Rams and Jim Everett. He wanted more money. Georgia Funnier, he wouldn't give it to him. He got out of town. And he sort of fell off with the Colts and after a while. I'll tell you who went out good is Walter Payton. Walter Payton's pretty much the icon amongst icons. Jim Brown, not my era, but I'm thinking he was holding on longer than he should have been around. Wannstedt's out, and they got to figure out what they're going to do, who they're going to bring in. Spurrier's not looking to come back to the NFL. And, you know, who knows, man? They're gonna find, you know, some defensive coordinator or some retread. And the Chargers, Marty Ball. Marty's been all over the place, man. Marty's been around for fucking years. Coaching the Bengals with Boomer. I think that's where he started out. And he's gone a couple of teams. And now all of a sudden, you know, he's been sort of all over the place, and he's a right retread, but now he's doing well. So, yeah, we'll see who Miami comes up with, but they suck. They suck. And the Ricky Williams situation is fun to watch. Okay, what else you got for me, Bill?
Terrell Owens shut out against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The guy had, I guess, by his standards, a bad game. Didn't catch any touchdowns. And the best part about it was Hines Ward on the Steelers, who caught two touchdowns, mocked him and did the little eagle dance in the end zone, which I loved. So that was great to see.
That was great to see, especially after watching all week. Ray Lewis, the Ray Lewis T.O. saga, and man, T.O. is the guy is making so much news for, you know, just being a receiver in football. When did that happen? Never. Okay, the only guy who's made news as a receiver like that is Jerry Rice. But Jerry Rice, he's just Mr. Business. And one year he complained about Joe Montana getting more pub than he did after the Super Bowl, and that's about the extent of any. Yeah, he's done a few things here and there, but T.O., man, T.O.'s kind of like a Michael Irvin. Michael Irvin was in that boat, you know, and then on the other side of the ball, Dion. But if you look at T.O., T.O.'s, the guy is just, what, off the hook. So, yeah, it was it was good to see him get a little of that back in his face. And then, you know, he had his press conference where he kissy-kissy, make-up-y to Ray Lewis. And he lost his edge, man. Maybe that's what happened. He lost his edge. Didn't catch a touchdown. He's had a touchdown every game this year. He's an MVP candidate. So maybe he got too soft. Okay, I'm going to have more from Bill tomorrow. Bill, man, you got some good takes, and I will play some more of your stuff. Hopefully tomorrow. I got the football stuff in. We got the NCAA coming up from Bill, as well as the Holyfield take and something on the WWE. But I wanted to get to this. Got a little message here from Scott. Scott's a little Scott's liking to push some buttons here. So he says, glad I supplied some material for one of your recent rants on Johnny Mack. Just had to say his name again because I see how he winds you up like a top. And Tatum, how hot was she compared to Johnny's current wife? But yeah, what's her name? Patty Smythe. We don't need another hero. Or is that Pat Benatar, that song? Anyway, Patty Smythe had like one hit. And I know she had like a racist, very racist song. A great musician, back to Scott, a great musician, but almost as painful to look at as Max Show. Agreed. I mean, where's Lendl? Where's Lendl when you need him? Oof, rat Lendl. He was no fun to look at. In any case, I loved your Cam Nitty rant. I mean, it was so touching for you to get off the sports seat and be the team psychologist for a minute. Hey, I'm here to help. You need to get off your butt and go play some sports, okay? Where's Oprah? All right. perhaps you could make a career out of this. I'll try to get a few folks to call in and reveal their issues. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Move over, Dr. Phil. Curtis is in the house. Dude, this is great, Scotty. There you have it. You heard from me. That's how Scotty's finishing his takes these days. I think that's a reaction to my, I want to hear from you. But we appreciate that, Scott, and looking for more good tennis smack. Bring up Lendl when nobody has thought of the guy in, like, 20 years. Dude, what a straight guy that guy was. Lendl was just like a machine. This guy was a robot. I mean, you look at it, he's playing against Mac, he's playing against Borg. Borg was just suave, the cat. Mac was just fucking raging. Connors was in there raging. And Lendl was just a robot, dude. He was like the Tiger Woods, fucking clocking in, clocking out. All business. Tiger's trying to get a little bit of personality, marrying a model and all that, but hanging with Barkley. But alright, let's see. What else do I want to cover here? I had a few takes, as I said, last week. I never did get around to getting these into the can, as it were. But let me go ahead and play some of this for you. Alright, so I watched the New Look Lakers last night, and they looked pretty good, pretty fun. It was quite a shock. I didn't see any preseason games that they played, so it was quite a shock to just see all those new faces. Okay, so this was right after the first game, first Laker game. And it's just classic. It's just so funny, all the naysayers about Kobe. You know, I mean, I think about, like, Phil Jackson bringing up, First of all, Phil Jackson in that book, it irks the hell out of me. I'm going to play a clip in a little bit with Derek Fisher getting interviewed. But, you know, he mentioned in the book how Kobe, you know, only took two shots in that one half late in the season. And that was like the stupidest uproar. That was the stupidest fucking uproar. I mean, you know, there was a game last year. He took two shots in the first half, right? Whatever. He was getting his teammates involved. And then there was a game in the playoffs. Same thing happened. And they won, I believe, both games. Last night, he only took like three shots in the whole first half. You know, I mean, there's like so much bullshit with Phil and the media and everyone talking smack about Kobe. You know, Kobe's great. Kobe's going to be great. He played great last night. He is still younger than MJ was before MJ won his first championship. Think about that. All right? He's got a lot ahead of him. And, you know, the Lakers are going to be fun to watch. They're going to do a lot of running, and they're going to be fun to watch. I'm just watching some of the Heat game right now. Miami Heat versus the New Jersey Nets. The Nets are a disaster. But the Heat, with Shaq, I just can't wait till the end of games where Shaq cannot depend on Kobe. I just want that's going to be exploited, and they're going to see that. And Shaq is not a go-to guy in the final minutes because of those foul shots. The guy is a brick. Everyone knows that. He's a brick. And Hack-a-Shaq is going to be in full form. So get ready, Shaq. They're coming after you in the fourth quarter with Hack-a-Shaq. And you're going to be Clank Fu once again, baby. You know? You know, Shaq depended on Kobe at the end of games. All throughout that championship run. All those championship runs. It was Kobe at the end of the game, okay? Let's see what he does now. What is he going to do? Depend on Dwayne Wade? Sure, why not? But, you know, it's just going to highlight again that he can't do squat in the fourth quarter. You know, he's going to be pretty good. Dwayne Wade, he's a good player, man. He's going to be a big star. But, yeah, they're gonna have problems. I know one thing I'm going to have a problem with is watching the ESPN halftime coverage with John Saunders. You can tell the guy is not that knowledgeable about basketball, and the things that he says are just annoying to me. Stevie the Franchise instead of Stevie Franchise. Saying, you know, they're trying to make this point. Look at their average. They look at their winning percentage last year with Shaq and Kobe on the floor versus with just Kobe on the floor. You cannot do that comparison. Stupid. You cannot do that comparison. Why? Because that whole fucking team was built around Shaq. Shaq was the man. Kobe said as much, alright? When Kobe, you know, Kobe said as much. Shaq was the man. One thing that's pretty interesting is watching Eddie Jones with Shaq now. And I remember back in the day, Eddie was a Laker, and God, Laker fans loved him. He was a favorite Laker. And him and Kobe got along well. They were really good friends. And then okay, this is me today, and I actually got to jump in on this because yeah, there's just so much of this shit going on. I mean, I listened to Steve Kerr yesterday on Romy, and everybody's got this impression that Kobe could not trust his teammates. How many fucking times did Kobe dribble penetrate and kick it out to Fish, kick it out to Ori, kick it out to Devin George? You know, I mean, and now it's like people are having this take of, oh, now Kobe's sharing the ball with these guys, but he wouldn't share the ball with Shaq? Where the fuck, where does that come from? Where the hell does that come from? Kobe fed Shaq the ball all the time. All right, let me go back to
Jackson,
last week.
Did you know that he was keeping a diary of last season? And if the coach is the guy who's always saying that what's in the locker room stays in the locker room, it's sacrosanct, what do you think about him? And he's urging the family to handle their business behind closed doors. What do you think about that guy then writing a book, letting it all out?
Yeah, well, you know, to answer your first question, I definitely always felt like, you know, Phil documented, you know, his thoughts and things in terms of what was going on. And, you know, a lot of times on the plane at nighttime after a game or something, you know, you would see him on his personal laptop, you know, and I always felt like he was taking notes or he was, you know, doing something that, you know, would allow him to go back and take a look at things again. So, you know, I didn't know he was going to write a book at all, but I definitely felt like he documented a lot of things that took place. You know, your second question, I definitely feel like, you know, coaches and management and the teams, you know, they're the people that really try and make that point the most in terms of, you know, what happens in the locker room stays in the locker room, and, you know, this team is our family and all of those things. And so to me, it's difficult at that point to then really support a situation where a coach or anybody that leaves an organization has free will, you know, to write or say whatever it is they want to say, you know, after the fact. But a lot of those things were in-house things. So, you know, it's kind of part of our business now where, you know, the media and everybody has so much more exposure to, you know, what happens in the locker room and what happens at practice every day. So I guess it's kind of a part of, you know, sports culture right now. And
there's Hugh Fish with Jim Rome. This is last week. And that's going to do it for today. Hugh Fish said it all, by the way. You know, I'd love to find some clips of fucking Phil Jackson and it's, you know, talking about, oh, the sanctity. Oh, it's the sanctity of, I can't do a Phil Jackson imitation, but sanctity of the locker room, and that everything in here is, you know, sacrilege, and, you know, what's said in here stays in here. And then he goes and fucking sells out, dude. Fuck you, Phil. Fucking sell out. I mean, another team will hire him in a second, right? But are those players going to trust him? You know, he's going to do well. If he decides to come back, he's going to do well. But, dude, you fucking sold out, and you lost a lot of cred. Lost a lot of credibility, bro. All right, I got to run for now. Thanks to Bill. We'll hear from more of Bill hopefully tomorrow. And thanks to Scott. Scott, we'll hear some more tennis takes. And that's going to do it. So I want to hear from the rest of you guys. Where are you guys, man? Let's talk some sports on the Sports Pod. Go ahead and email me, curtis@thesportspod.com. You can leave messages on the site in the comments section at thesportspod.com. You can also call in voicemails just like Bill did at 603-649-7771. 603-649-7771. That's going to do it. Ready. Break.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. I don't believe what I just saw.
Sports Pod.
Half a deck's on the ball.
Do you believe in miracles?